right, take that indeed, as we're glad to have you on board, Jaguars, today on a Metro Rooter Wednesday, final day outside, Tony. It's got that camp feel to it, doesn't it? I mean, it's like a summer camp right now.
It really is.
Well, all the kids out here being paired up with different players, wearing their helmets out. I mean, you're talking about little dudes right now, little ladies as well, all getting escorted and escorting the players out to the field. It's kind of like we always see those pictures up in Green Bay. The kids bring the bikes.
Yeah.
And they let the player ride
bike
the bike
day,
and,
yeah.
they run alongside next to him. It's kind of like that, but it's helmet day.
Yeah, it's as gentle as I've ever seen Jeremy Parnell look since he got to Jacksonville. He's got this little girl. She's about a foot tall walking along beside him because he's a giant man. And he's got this little smile on his face. It's as gentle as I've seen that giant look. To
yes, the cat is here. Cat 2.
Yeah, I've actually, I've kept an eye on the cat the couple of times that I've been around him. I like what I've seen early on.
Have you?
From the new cat.
Give
yeah.
me a, because I haven't seen much from the new cat.
Well, I was walking in a few minutes ago, about half an hour ago, and, you know, he's playing with all the kids as they're waiting for the players to come out. So they're doing, like, some jumping jacks and stuff, and he's playing around with them. While I was walking out to the practice field, he's going along the rail that they have set up for practice where all the fans are waiting on the players to come in.
Right.
And, you know, there's a bunch of kids and stuff that have their hands out to get high fives. And Jackson is on his little scooter, and he's driving by, and he's giving high fives. And there's these two guys standing there that are too cool to give Jackson a high five. So he just stops his scooter and backs up, and he just stares at him for like 10 seconds. Then he starts slapping his own hand, and then he was playing with just a little infant that a dad had brought out here, too. So I've enjoyed what I've seen early on from the new Jackson.
All right, I will withhold judgment. How about that for now? I will withhold judgment on the new one. I think a lot of people obviously were big fans of Curtis and what he did. We'll see what the new guy has to offer. No sense running him out of town yet, right? let's see if he could play.
Let's get to Friday night first, right?
Right, exactly. Let's get to Friday night. Let's get to the stadium. And he's not going to break out the whole bag of tricks like Felix the Cat in his first preseason performance.
No, probably not.
Right? You don't want to win them over that early. Have them questioning you going into week one when you pull off some death-defying stunt that even the original version might have given pause to. Tony, it's a big day in the NFL today. Goodell and the Brady team supposed to meet for some settlement talks, although the NFL, as you heard Dan and Jeff coming out there on Crosstalk saying that unless he admits he did it,
yeah,
there's not going to be a settlement.
Unless you tell us you're a cheater.
Right. In other words,
I don't believe so.
Because if Brady were to go on, and he still doesn't believe so, but if he were to go on and say, yes, I'll accept guilt, then it doesn't matter what the penalty is, because then the NFL feels they're exonerated. See, all this hand-wringing by Robert Kraft and this fist-shaking and all this stuff that went on is moot. We are right. Brady cheated. On we go. Doesn't really matter what the punishment is at that point in time. I don't know.
And you get no sense at this point that Brady's going to admit that.
No, he's not going to admit that, but if I'm the NFL, I'm taking in as well. I'm just saying, you know what, I'm not going to backpedal at this point in the face of the judge, and whatever happens, happens. They've already had a bunch of rulings overturned on them, so we'll see. But it's a big day, potentially, in that score. And look, ultimately, I think we think it goes to the federal magistrate, and he makes the ruling on this, and I can't begin to predict which way he's going to go
no.
on this kind of stuff. So we'll see about that. Yesterday was an interesting day, was it not?
Was it?
Sucker Punch
Anything
Day.
Anything happen?
Yes, Sucker Punch Day. Hey, Tony, what
other team? Anything weird happened in the NFL yesterday?
Is there another team you could sucker punch the starting quarterback, break his jaw, and the odds to go to the Super Bowl get better in Vegas? Seriously, is there another team out there right now that you could say that is the case?
As the Daily News today, one of their headlines was Deflate Face. The other one was Luck of the Jaw, and the under headline is Jets fans rejoice as quarterback out 6 to 10 weeks.
Right,
that's a paper up in New York. It's not an article out of the Onion. That is a paper in New York with that headline today.
Well, you know, I mean, look, it was the big NFL story, so you talk about it. But yesterday I was doing the show on SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio, which Fat Tony came on with the Jaguar Report, an outstanding report as always.
Thank you.
But, you know, we're like, are we seriously lamenting the loss of Geno Smith to anyone's fantasy prospects at this point in time?
No.
Didn't a lot of people expect it was going to be Ryan Fitzpatrick sooner rather than later anyway? So, but today we'll have a little fun with that.
The sucker punch.
Look, first of all, I don't know if it's a sucker punch or not, you know?
It's just such a the story is so absurd. A second-year, sixth-round linebacker upset about his $600 plane ticket debt. Sucker punches the starting quarterback for an NFL team in the locker room.
Hey, that six-round money doesn't go as far as it used to, apparently.
I get that part of it.
What do you clearly the guy has got an impulse control issue, but what possible scenario do you think, as you said, a sixth-round fringe guy thinks he can get away with, I don't care how bad the starting quarterback is, thinks he can get away with punching the starting quarterback in the face and thus breaking his jaw.
Right. How did you think it was going to work out?
Right.
Right.
You didn't. Well, clearly he didn't think anything. His brain went from 0 to 100. He lashed out.
And by the way,
hit
Gino,
him in the face.
Pay the guy. If you said you were going to pay the guy, pay the guy.
Yeah, and we don't know. Here's the deal. He apparently he wanted to come to his camp, and Gino's like, "Yeah, I'll go to your camp, scrub. If you buy the ticket." I mean, come on, seriously. IK. An Impal, I don't know.
An Impali, whatever.
An Impali, right? Nobody knows how to say it.
You don't need to know his name.
IK, okay?
Yeah.
So I'm going to go to your camp, but you got to buy the ticket. Oh, wait a minute. I had a death in the family, and I can't go to your camp now.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to come. Now I got to pay for the ticket. Whatever. I mean,
Gino probably
owes him $600,
right.
And he probably feels like he didn't owe him $600. Whatever. The other guy escalated it beyond what was acceptable.
Yes, clearly.
Right. But there are people out there that say, look, man, you don't pay that guy, you're going to get a punch in the face. I saw Boomer Esiason tweet that out yesterday. Don't be surprised if you get punched in the face if you're not paying the money that you owe. Okay, so that I guess that's how Boomer feels. How
there isn't a better way to handle it. Like I get that if it's like a bookie on the street.
Anybody
right?
ever owe you money? I mean, you just go up and clock them.
Right, like a guy dealing with me, it's one thing. Two teammates in an NFL locker room, I don't think the expectation.
How about two people in any workplace?
Right, a slow or late payment is I'm going to punch this dude in the face, especially a backup six-round linebacker to the starting quarterback on an NFL franchise. The whole story is so absurd that it has to be the Jets. Like, it couldn't be anybody else. It's perfect.
Granted that we certainly, I don't, no matter how much we joke about it, I don't condone anybody punching anybody over a verbal altercation or disagreement of any kind.
Sure.
It's just dumb. But there's certainly that feeling we've all had of we just wanted to smash our fist right through somebody's smug-looking countenance.
Absolutely.
And so we all understand that impulse.
I fight it every day.
Every single way. You're sitting next to me. It's not surprising. And no, I don't have your $20, all right? So you'll just have to wait a little while longer. But today we'll ask you the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships fan feedback question of the day. Which player or coach, you can throw owners in there because we've gotten those submitted as well. Which NFL person, you can throw media in there, you can throw me in there, I don't care. Which person connected to the NFL would you most like to sucker punch, okay, if the opportunity arose? So tweet us your responses to that. We've gotten a bevy of good ones already.
I got to think long and hard about this one.
I might go Romanowski right off the top, honestly, because he's the kind of guy, he sucker punched the Oakland Raider tight end, whose name I can't remember.
He did.
Fractured his eye socket and ended his career.
Smith had a similar situation,
yes,
in Carolina.
But Romanowski, of course, was considered a good player.
Yeah.
So it's okay that you smash that guy's, he caved his eye in.
Yeah.
Because we need you on the field. What would have happened if, forget if it was Geno, let's say it was a good quarterback, right? Let's say the Jets finally had a good quarterback, okay? Richard Todd came back, Tony, and reincarnated.
Right.
Anyway, and he punched out the sixth-round linebacker. Is he getting his walking papers as well?
No.
Probably not, right?
No.
Todd Bowles said we're going to treat them all the same way.
They may.
Good luck with that.
The linebacker may never be able to go back in that locker room after getting sucker punched by the starting quarterback.
Right, you can't get your jaw broken by a quarterback. I mean, you may get caught on top of
I was thinking, the guy in the NFL, or at least on the fringe of the NFL right now, that I would think would be the most popular answer to this is Ray Rice, but I haven't seen it yet.
Ray Rice would be a great one. Oh, my goodness. That would be fantastic. Yeah, I'd like to punch Ray Rice in the face, honestly. I mean, who wouldn't like to punch Ray Rice in the face? A little punk hitting a woman like that. All right, so anyway. At MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Tyler. We're going to cut it loose, have a little bit of fun out here on our final day as we're field side for training camp. We'll talk with Johnny O coming up, the senior writer from Jaguars.com. John Osier stops by. We'll check in with Tony Boselli via the phone lines today. He's not going to make it out to practice. He's got some things going on this morning, but we saw him out here yesterday. Want to get his take on the O-line battles particularly, but
yeah,
the overall look of how this thing has, what kind of feel it's had to Tony over the last couple weeks of training camp. Probably grab a few words with Amanda Borges, our 1010XL Jaguar reporter, out here as she is every day as well. Of note, Jared Odrick coming out to practice once again. Doesn't look like he's participating today. So
yeah, no pads today.
No pads, but he's not in. They have uniform tops on,
yeah,
and he's not. You know, he's in a t-shirt.
Apparently, Dwayne Grotz supposed to be back out of practice today, but again with no pads, so no contact for Dwayne Grotz today. You wouldn't expect him to be able to play on Friday night for a guy who's not, I don't know that he's fighting for a roster spot, but certainly fighting for stability.
He's fighting for his role
roster
in the pecking
right
order, right? And we see some dark marks. Chris Clemens coming out, not practicing today as expected as well. So we'll give you all the latest from field side. We'll hear a little bit from Gus Bradley following yesterday's practice. We'll take your calls and your texts on the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. Same number, 904-641-1010, and you can jump on board the Jaguars Today Facebook page. You got the Twitter handles thrown out there to you as well. Metro Rooter, they bring you the show every Wednesday. Metro Rooter doing so much business right now, Tony. They're hiring. If you are a qualified service plumber, I've got a deal for you. Listen up. We'll tell you throughout the course of the show. Maybe an employment opportunity coming your way via our friends at Metro Rooter, our Wednesday sponsors. Jaguars Today, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Fieldside at the Florida Blue Practice Fields on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Jaguars Today rolling on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. All right, we continue along in Metro Rooter Wednesday here. Final day of training camp for our broadcast. What do they call tomorrow? What's the day before your first preseason game, Tony?
Walkthrough.
Is that what it is? Is it still officially training camp, or are we breaking camp today at 12:15?
For us, we're breaking camp at 12:15.
You and I are. Maybe 12:05, actually. We may not wait around.
That's right. No more out here.
We're done. We like it out here, John.
It's a good setup.
It's fantastic. In all honesty, thanks to the Jags for making it so accessible to us. You know, to put us right here in basically the walkway where the players come out, and where we actually have a view of the field, and, you know, we can grab all our buddies like John Osier. As I describe you, the eye of the fan. You're out there taking it all in.
Okay,
yes,
good.
You are. The senior writer for Jaguars.
It's good to know. It's good to know where I stand.
Yes. have you had enough?
You know, we haven't had enough because we'll be out here the next few weeks the same way. I mean, the media will cover it. But I think, as we talked about during the break, in terms of storylines, in terms of things for us to talk about, 10, 12 days of camp is about enough. And then you get a game on Friday that you can possibly reset. It feels like we'll know maybe a little more about the center position, a little more about some of the battles. I think especially running back, some of the skill spots are going to be fun to watch on Friday, because you can actually start to see, you're starting to think maybe Bernard Pierce forces his way into the running back rotation a little bit. A running back in the preseason really can do that. And I think we might be talking about different things like that next week than we have been so far. So far, they're all preset storylines. And now the pads go on the field against an opponent, so we will have some shakeout.
How many running backs do you think they'll keep ultimately?
You know, I think a lot of it depends on Corey Grant. If Corey Grant emerges as the kickoff returner, then it can force you to keep five. I don't know how much he really plays into the running back rotation playing, but he could force you to keep a guy who is listed as a running back on the roster, even though he probably doesn't figure into the back rotation. Beyond that, four.
So you're just thinking four core guys, basically.
You know,
no fullbacks. That'll give them a lot of positional flexibility at other spots, you would think.
It will, and I think the fact that you've got Tyson playing some fullback over there, Toby seems to have a little bit of an H-back role, which will have a fullback feel in certain plays that they run, I think. And a lot of teams, when they go without a fullback, they use that tight end. You could see Clay Harbor lining up as an H-back. He's not a blocking fullback. But you could see Koyak. If they need those spots, then you could use those positions to fill those roles a little bit. I don't know that if you keep Storm, Pierce, all these guys, maybe you're keeping too much of the same guy.
You know, Koyak going to Notre Dame, you expect him to be a smart guy, but very smart. He's cross-training as a long snapper, and he was working on that yesterday. And he, I mean, Zelenka was a tight end, I mean, officially,
yeah, right?
But he was a long snapper, and that's really all he ever was in the National Football
right.
League. But, you know, if you're a fringe guy, man, give yourself, that's a value. If you can consistently get good at that skill, it's not quite as rare as finding quality quarterbacks in the NFL,
right.
But, you know, that skill alone is the most specialized skill that will keep you around a National Football League roster.
Absolutely, and it would be ideal from a team standpoint. I'm not against Carson Tinker, but it's ideal from a team standpoint if you get fortunate enough to have a long snapper who also plays another position, let's say it's your roster spot. And so often, you know, it's sort of a glaring thing. You got 53 guys, you've
right.
got a kicker,
three specialists.
You've got a punter, and you've got this long snapper who, as a GM, yeah, you know you need it. You don't begrudge it. It's not like you're walking down the hall looking at Carson Tinker going, But at the same time,
how dare you?
You certainly wouldn't mind the benefit, just like we talked about with Tyson Alualu. A guy who can do more than one thing saves you a worry about that, so it can't hurt.
No, it certainly can't. And
did I say growl, Tony?
I like it. You mentioned Corey Grant and the opportunity for kick return. I think Friday night's obviously going to be the first opportunity we get to see special teams live, mm-hmm. right? And I think that's probably, as much as anything, the importance of the preseason for the coaches is they put those guys out there in live special team situations without putting
right.
themselves against themselves in those kind of spots. And Corey Grant, you think if he's going to make the roster, he's going to make it as a kick returner without the fullback. They have some flexibility there. How much better does he have to be than a guy like Denard Robinson as a kick returner for him to just make the roster in that kind of spot if they don't feel like he can help them as a running back?
Well, I told somebody on the field yesterday, I think he needs to break some. I think he needs to show... yes, you know what he can do out here. You know he's fast. But there's also sort of an eye test even for a GM. I think Dave Caldwell's got to sit in the press box and see this guy do something exciting and think to himself, I need this element. I've seen it now. Because really, in a Corey Grant situation, very, very fast guy, clearly, really didn't show up very much at Auburn. And then he comes here and he's got speed. So at some point, I think to be in the NFL as a returner, you do have to make an impact in the preseason and break one. And that may not even be really fair to Corey Grant, because if the blocking's not there, it's hard to break one. But there is a feeling you've got to have a play that sort of stands out, I think, if you're Corey Grant.
Jaguars.com senior writer John Osier here with us, of course, at John Osier on Twitter. Ozone. What about Storm Johnson? Yesterday, I thought he had a good practice. Now, albeit he's going up against the twos, but he looked quick out there.
Yeah.
Caught the ball well. You know, is this a numbers game going to get him caught up?
Storm, since he's gotten here, has had days, had plays in games last year where you look at it and think exactly the same thing you just did, where it's like, boy, this guy's as good as anybody on the roster. At the same time, there's been inconsistency. So he's a guy... I think it's going to be tough because you've got the three guys that we consider are probably going to be on the team, and I include Gerhardt in that because he does a lot of things. There are times where Storm comes out and looks better than Gerhardt because he breaks the long run. I think they know they can rely on Toby Gerhardt pass protection as a receiver to be there. So I think there's four guys that Storm has to get past one of those guys. If they keep four... And there's no guarantee I'm right on the four. They may
right.
keep five because the fullback does give you some flexibility. It just feels to me like tight end's going to be more where the spots are.
So Corey Grant as a kick returner or nothing, do you get the same sense for guys like Tandon Doss and Brian Walters as they're not going to make the team as a wide receiver? They're going to make the team because they're their punt returner, or they're not going to make the roster?
That would be the sense. And, again, sometimes our preconceived sense on something like that may not be how it shakes out that after that last preseason game, because Dave Caldwell may look at it and say, you know what, none of these guys has really jumped out, but here's this guy, Tandon Doss, who's a veteran guy, and I'm just using him as an example because he asked, but he looks at Tandon Doss and goes, okay, here's this veteran guy, I know he's going to catch the ball, I've seen him do it in Baltimore, I know that if I have to put him in there as a receiver, I've seen on the practice field that he's solid, can do that. Yeah, I like that safe feeling as my sixth guy in this situation, and you're sort of juggling those five or six spots at the bottom of the roster sometimes. So he becomes a factor. I think, yes, he has to win the punt return job to be on it, but he may be one of those guys who is a safe stay for the GM.
We know that the three second-year receivers will be here. We know that Rashad Green will be here. So how do you handicap Aurelius Ben and Tony Washington's chances for one or the other to make this team?
I think if they keep six, I get the feeling both of them will stay. No, I take it back. I think if they keep six, I get the feeling that one of them's here. I feel like Ben's got the advantage. That punt returner thing, it's so hard to answer until you know how this punt returner thing shakes out. If all of a sudden it looks like Nick Marshall's returning punts, which I'm not sure is going to happen, but if it's Rashad Green, then boy, that nails that down. If it's Tandon Daw, so I'm a little mealy-mouthed on the bottom of the receiver roster because I think that punt returner plays into it. I definitely think Aurelius Ben's on the team. I wonder how much it'll take for Tony Washington to force his way onto the team.
Yeah, I don't know what more he can do. He seems to have made a lot of plays, but it could be just a numbers
thing. And that may be a numbers thing,
sure.
Too. A lot of times for those guys, remember, we talk a lot about the 53-man, and that's important. But there's also six, seven guys who, if they get released, you're not shocked to see them the first guy back in the door
right.
When something happens where they need to juggle the roster. So I think some of these guys we're talking about may be released and then may be back in the fold. And by the end of the season, they've played nine games and they're here again next training camp. So there's a little bit of that going on with some of these bottom guys.
Gus Bradley brought up a good point, probably should have been a more obvious point, that, Aurelius Ben, as much as they want to run the ball, they're going to be in there, a lot of two tight ends, a back. It's going to be tight eight-man, nine-man boxes. You need wide receivers that can block. Aurelius Ben is built more physically than I think any receiver on this roster.
Yeah, you know? I hate to call him a lock because I don't think anybody's a lock except those top three and then Rashad Green. Although I think Rashad Green's got to play better. I think he's got to look good in preseason because I don't know what his spot is yet. I don't think he's earned anything to be on the field yet. So I think he's got to do better. I think Aurelius Ben, it's hard for me to imagine him not on the team. He's looked good. It's hard for me to imagine him not having that fifth spot right now. Just because he's a veteran guy, it feels like they like his potential on special teams in terms of his size, et cetera, et cetera. So he feels to me like a pretty solid pick for this team.
Do you have a sense in your own mind of when you think a decision on who the starting center is going to be on this team will come?
Well, it just feels like, being around Gus for 2 years, I'd be surprised if they named a guy before they gave him each a preseason start. Wouldn't you guys? They've rotated him so far every day during camp. It'd be a little surprising to me if they worked, Wisniewski with the ones in the first preseason game and said, "That's it, let's go." I think they would give Buenco a shot, simply because they've done that the whole time. I'm starting to get the idea, just from a couple of things Gus has said in the press conference. I think they like Wisniewski's experience there, the fact that he's seen 4 years worth of NFL offenses. I guess I'm leaning a little toward him in that race, although I still think it's a race, and I still think they like Buenco a lot more than people think.
All right, final thought with you, John Osier, Jaguars.com. We got .com Live coming up today, 1 o'clock.
I believe it's right after practice.
You mean right after I do that pregame interview with Stefan Wisniewski in the studio right after practice?
Yeah.
Right after that?
It sounds like. I'm kind of flying blind right now.
All right, good. I'll tell you what, I'll beat you in there.
We've got Aaron Colvin on today, and that's always a lot of fun because, A, he's really good about talking about his role, et cetera, et cetera. He's a good kid, and I think he's one of the, five, six guys who's a cornerstone piece of this franchise going forward.
Tony, I said if you poll Jaguar fans about the six players are most excited about seeing, not only in the preseason, but this year, it's Blake, Allen Robinson, Julius Thomas, T.J. Yeldon, obvious skill guys on offense, and it's Colvin and Telvin Smith on defense. And not that other guys can't have terrific years, but those are the people that get the fans.
Those are kind of the rock stars right now, so to speak. Aside from you and I, those are the guys who will come out here sick.
Not everybody can rock the Aviators like John Osier. In fact, nobody can
actually
rock the Aviators like John Osier.
I had 2 days where I was convinced that the Aviators had been lost, stolen. They were in my shorts pocket.
Wow.
So that's how I roll.
Don't wash those clothes very often, apparently, at the Osier household. Ozone, final one for you. Question of the day, which NFL player, coach, owner, whatever, NFL person, past or present, would you most like to sucker punch? Who's most deserving?
Oh, wow.
Or at least see sucker punch.
See sucker punch.
Yeah, even if you didn't deliver the blow.
Staubach.
Staubach?
Yeah. Goes way back for me.
Wow. I mean, Roger.
I was a Skins fan growing up.
Okay.
He broke my heart over and over again. I would have done it when I was in the eighth grade.
Because Roger's like Mr. Squeaky Clean.
Hey,
right?
Not
I
to
mean,
me, he's not.
He is, wow, he's a dirty
He better not
animal.
Walk on this field, put it that way.
Wow. Staubach. That was a good one out of left field. Johnny O.
And you notice it didn't take very long.
No, you pretty much have
That's
that one ready.
That's a deep-seated scar that I still haven't gotten
you
over.
You carry that one with you. At John Osier, and again, check him out. Jaguars.com live today with J.P. Shadrick, Aaron Colvin, the guest, sometime shortly after practice today.
Yeah, I guess whenever you want us to go.
Thank All you. Right. I appreciate it.
We're on your time.
You're figuring it out, Ozone. Good to see you, buddy.
All right, buddy.
We'll talk to you soon. Johnny O. From Jaguars.com here with you. We'll talk with Tony Boselli coming up in a minute and get his take on those offensive line battles and the Jags' state of the roster, as well as we get ready to embark on the first preseason game of the year this Friday night at home against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Hope to see all of you out here for that one. 641-1010, the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line open to you, and the phone lines will be open a little bit later on as well at the same number if you'd like to get on board on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. I just saw the general walking by, Dave Caldwell, saying hello on his way out to practice. He's taking it in. No pads today. Wasn't enough to get Tony Boselli out here today. You're not even wearing the pads. Big Bo's had enough, you know. Tony Boselli, we all know him as the near Hall of Famer, the should-be Hall of Famer.
Will be.
Will be, hopefully, one day. And a member of the Jaguar broadcast team, of course. And he joins us here on 1010XL on Jaguars today. What's up, Big Bo? How are you this morning?
I'm good, boys. Yeah, no pads. I don't either. I mean, come on, man.
Tony.
What was the purpose of no pads today, though? Was there a reason?
They're exhausted, I think. Because training camp is so grueling compared to your day, Tony.
It's so grueling. I'm in camp.
I don't know. Hey, does it boggle your mind when you see the change in the last 20 years and how these teams prepare for the season?
Oh, it's crazy. Listen, I think... I always thought when I played, I thought 2 days because you did so much in the off season wasn't necessary. I always thought if I was a coach, what I would do is I'd go really hard in the morning and then have a walkthrough every afternoon, mental. I mean, it would be a good walkthrough, a good hour and a half walkthrough, knowing everything in the neat. But I'd go, I mean, I think, there's value of going full pads and getting, I mean, I think the only way you get physical is to practice physical. And so I think it's critical to really get after it for, at least one practice a day. But, the way these guys train in the offseason, you just don't need 2 days anymore.
Tony, I know you probably get asked this question virtually every time a Jaguars fan sees you in public, but it needs to be asked when talking about this offensive line. What have you seen from Luke Jokel, especially early on here in training camp, and what are your expectations for him going into the preseason? What are you looking for from him?
Well, I expect him to be better than he was last year. It was really last year, first year starting at left tackle, coming off the injury and, all the things that happened in the offseason with George Giarno going out and being diagnosed with cancer, last minute change of coaches and everything else, rookie quarterback. So there's a lot of different things that go into everyone's performance last year. Not that it's an excuse, but they're learning. It's a learning curve, and everyone's kind of trying to figure this thing out together. And there's going to be bumps and bruises along the way as you figure it out. But now this is year three for Luke. Really, second year starting at left tackle. I expect a big jump. I expect him to start getting to the point of a guy that you're comfortable blocking that right end one-on-one more times than not, and really can firm up the left side of the line and be a physical presence there. So I'm looking forward to it. He has all the ability. He's really athletic. He's the technique he's learning right now from Doug Marone, who's an outstanding coach, is going to help him, and so I expect a big improvement.
What is it about Doug Marone that makes him such a good O-line coach, Tony? I think you're obviously well qualified to speak on that.
You know, he's a technician. And so I always say that anybody can draw up plays and schemes. I mean, it's not that hard. Heck, go watch YouTube and you can figure out schemes of how to block a 4, you know, a 4-3 or a 4, you know, 3 under over or a 3-4, whatever. I mean, you can figure out zone schemes, power schemes. I mean, it's not that difficult. You can, you know, you can figure that out. The great coaches are great teachers of technique, especially at the offensive line. And that's what Doug Marrone is. He can break down how to block, you know, whether it's zone or gap or if it's a double team or pass protection, hand placement, footwork, you know. And so teaching a guy how to do it and then also why you do something based on a look you're getting, that's the difference between just being a guy who draws schemes and tell you where to go and a guy who can teach the position and help you become a better player.
He's very hands-on. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, he's very hands-on. You're exactly right. But the offensive line, guys, is the most technical position out on the field, even more than quarterback. Because quarterback, listen, I mean, from a mental standpoint, is huge because you have to understand defense and everything else. But I'm talking from a technique standpoint, the difference from being average to good to great is so nuanced. And it's the one position where you're blocking a better athlete or playing against a better athlete than you every play.
Tony Boselli joining us here at the Metro Diner chat counter, and we want to get into some of those position battles with you in a moment, Tony, but have you had the opportunity to talk to the guys that are on this offensive line this year about the difference that it's already made having Doug Marrone around as a teacher this season?
No, and I wouldn't do that. I don't think that's fair probably to Luke Butkus or those guys. You know, I think Luke Butkus did a great job, you know, in the position he was put in, coming in late as a young coach, having to take over the room of a very young offensive line. And, you know, the last thing you want to do, it's not fair to Luke to compare him to Doug Marrone, who's a guy who's been doing 25 years or however long, has been, been a head coach, offense coordinator, been the main line coach in several different teams. And so trying to compare that situation, I don't think it's fair to anybody. And I think it's a great opportunity for Luke, because I think Luke Butkus is a good football coach, and I think learning and being under the tutelage of Doug Marrone is going to help him even more, and I think he'll do a great job. So I wouldn't want to get into that if I was a player, because I know the guys respect Luke, and obviously they respect Doug as well.
Tony Boselli, our guest this morning on Jaguars Today here on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Tony, we talked with Jeff Loggeman yesterday, and he suggested that it may be a combination decision at left guard and center, that if you put a rookie in at left guard, maybe you go with the more veteran Wisniewski at center. Likewise, if you go with Belenko in the middle, maybe they'll lean towards a veteran in Beatles at guard. Does that make sense to you? And how do you see these two? How do you handicap those two position battles?
I disagree with Wadman 100%. I think you're going to play the best guy at those two positions. I don't care who they are. And because I think Belenko, listen, his second year, he's a smart guy. If they need to put A.J. Canvas to him, I think they're comfortable doing that. I really think it's going to be the best guy. I mean, and I think that won't be decided, and I think it's too early to handicap until you get into the preseason where you do it live and you're put in different situations. So I was listening to you guys before I got on with Osher, and I agree with you guys. I think that Gus gives both Wisniewski and Belenko a start each. And then I think you'll decide it going into the third preseason game who the starter is. And so I think it'll be determined. We'll see how these guys play in game situations. They've obviously evaluated it through the practice. I think they both do things. I think Belenko's more athletic, better probably up to the next level. I think Wisniewski's a little firmer, a little more powerful in the close spaces, you know, as far as the center, and maybe handle a head-up nose a little bit better. So I think that's a great battle. I think it's a battle for left guard, too. I don't think that is Zane Beadle's position, and, you know, let's not worry about it. I think it's a real battle between him and A.J. Can. And I do think also that there possibly, if Belenko or Wisniewski, whoever doesn't win that center job, I think they could compete for the left guard job as well.
What do you think A.J. Can needs to do in the preseason? I know you think just the better player is going to play, but as a rookie coming in trying to, you know, bring down a guy who was the starter here in Jacksonville last year. He's been around the NFL for a while now, and Zane Beadle, what does he need to do over the course of the next month to earn that starting spot?
He has to build confidence in the coaches' minds that they can trust him. that he knows what's going on and what to do. I mean, physically, he's fine. I mean, he's a big, strong, powerful guy. But he has to, you know, earn the trust of, first of all, Doug Marrone and then Greg Olsen, that if they put him in a game situation, that he's going to know what to do. He's going to understand the scheme. He's going to know what to do and put the pick up. You know, when it's moving fast, that he's going to be able to pick everything up. So it's just a confidence thing. He's got to prove to them, you know, outside of obviously playing well and just physically showing he can do it and all those things, but he has to earn the trust of the coaches. And that, as a rookie, I think that's the challenge every time you put a rookie out there. Can you trust them, not just physically, but mentally, to get the job done?
Tony Boselli, Jaguar great here with us for a couple more minutes on 1010XL. Tony, how much would you like to see the starters play on both sides of the ball this game on Friday night?
One quarter. More offensively than defensively, probably, but I think a quarter. I think I'd play a quarter this first game, a half the second game, into the third quarter the third game, and then a series the fourth game. But I think it's important this offense gets a full quarter at least. You know, they need reps. They need to work together.
What have you seen from Blake this offseason, comparing him to where he was this time last year? How much improvement do you expect out of him in 2015?
Well, gosh, the ball comes out so much better, Demps. I mean, it just doesn't look like it's going end over end half the time and, you know, fluttering in the middle of the field. I mean, he really, I think, comes out nice. He seems much more confident to me as far as, you know, he's a confident guy last year in his ability, but now he feels, I get the sense he's confident and he knows where the heck he's supposed to go with the ball more times than not. Well, I think last year he was guessing half the time and wasn't quite as sure. And so that hesitation really, it can make doing the right mechanics even harder if they're not natural. So I think mechanically he looks better because of the work he's done, but then mentally knowing where to go, I think everything is much easier and the ball comes out much better because of it.
Tony, before we let you go, we haven't had the opportunity to talk to you here during the offseason since they went through all the free agency. I think it's easy to point at Julius Thomas as the best free agent acquisition for this team, but, man, do I love Jeremy Parnell. And for you, watching him and getting a sense from him here just the first couple weeks of training camp, what have you seen? What kind of impact do you think he could make for this offensive line?
Yeah, I think he makes the right side really good. I mean, listen, I think our best offensive lineman right now is Brandon Linder. And then very close to Jeremy Parnell. Those two, I mean, the right tackle, right guard are the best two players on that offensive line. And Parnell is, you know, obviously very big and long and powerful. And I guess what probably surprises me more than anything is how good his feet are. Because a lot of times right tackle, you don't see the feet that you know, typically do out of a left tackle. But he has great feet. I mean, golly, he moves well. And so I really like the combination of him and Linder on that right side. I think there's a lot of power and toughness. And I think that'll be a nasty side of the line. I think they're going to get after people and beat people up. And so I love the signing. He's not a young player in the sense of his age, but he's a younger body because he hasn't had a lot of reps. So he's still a player that you expect to get better as he gets more reps. So it should be fun to watch him and Linder play together.
Yeah, he's got a little bit of your personality, at least on the playing field, and that's a good thing. You know, they needed that edge, I think, and I think Parnell's going to help.
But
bring
you say he's
edge
a super nice guy?
Yes. Golly, Tony. Yes, you're the first one who's uttered golly on this show, I think, in a year and a half that we've been on.
Yeah, so. Golly. You know, it's kind of old-fashioned. That's who we are.
I understand, brother, and that's exactly who Jeremy Parnell is. A yes sir, no sir, golly gosh. Hey, Tony Boselli, you're going to hear him with Frank Frangie and Jeff Lagerman on the call of all of your Jaguar pre- and regular season and postseason games all the way to Super Bowl 50. How's that one, Big Bo? We'll see you
I like it. Hey, Demps, are we doing the fantasy football again this year?
We will do the fantasy football during the regular season this year. I will not make you pick preseason fantasy football players this week.
Yeah, I can barely pick him in the regular season, so that's a good idea. That we're
I agree with you, brother. But I'll look forward to talking to you, and we'll see you on Friday on the pregame show, okay?
Sounds good, guys.
Thanks, man. Tony Boselli on Twitter, simply at Tony Boselli, the one and only pride of the Jaguars, big Tony Boselli here with us. And who better? And he's, look, if Tony says let's wait and see, I'm not going to declare a leader at either of those spots. He certainly, if anybody in this town, is the authority on that. By the way, in all that talk about Doug Marrone and Luke Butkus, happy birthday, George Yarno, 58 years old
happy
today.
Happy birthday,
how about
George.
That, right?
That's cool, yeah.
And, you know, Tony, great part of the story is when they hired Doug Marrone, they kept Yarno on the staff. He is being paid in full for the Jags. That's just a small gesture by them that doesn't get widely recognized, but it really tells you what this organization has been about over the last couple of years.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history, Tony, is brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. The first NFL game on Fox occurred on this date in football history. What year did Fox get the NFL broadcast rights, Tony?
1992.
1994. Good call there. I mean, Fox was just the network of The Simpsons. That's all they really had, right? And then they got the NFL, and now look at them. They're off and running. Famous birthdays on this date. We mentioned George Yarno, former offensive line coach for the Jacksonville Jaguars, still under contract as he battles cancer.
Happy birthday, Coach.
Happy birthday, George Yarno, and many, many more. 58 years old today as the Jags supporting him as he continues to receive medical treatment. Happy 40th. Oh, my goodness, the old man. Donovan Darius, you're old. You're old, Donovan. You're not a kid anymore, big boy. Happy birthday, Double D, and good to... hopefully we'll see
Donovan
him out here.
Will give you an inspirational message about turning 40.
He probably will. He'll tell you why it's the greatest age to be of all time. And he'll probably convince you because he's that persuasive. Born on this date in 1977, happy 38th, the Plexico Burress. We remember him from his rookie season spiking a live football, which I believe Donovan recovered.
I think he did.
On that play.
I've called him Spike his entire career because of that.
That ties
play.
It all together, Tony. Jaguar nemesis Delanie Walker. I think the Jags made him cry a couple of years ago when the Jags beat Tennessee. He was not pleased.
No, we talked to him at the Super Bowl.
He, a phenomenal guy.
Yeah,
actually.
And he sat down and he was like, I knew y'all were going to bring that up because you asked him about the crying after the Jaguars beat him 2 years ago. And he was like, man, I knew y'all were going to have to bring that up. He was great about it.
He was really good about a good sport. And then also, Tony, you remember the big Scandinavian-looking tight end the Jags had a couple of years ago, 6'7". Remember, he was going to be a weapon at the back of the end zone. Matt Veldman, ladies and gentlemen, from deep in the archives, happy birthday,
Matt
Veldman.
We've been reaching for tight end help for how long, Jacksonville?
Yes. And
for how long?
He did not provide any. So there you have it, some birthdays and other notables for this date in football history, brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. Whether it's in-home for your business, repairs, re-roofs, license number CCC056797, Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing, providing you with this date in football history.
Now, the drive around the NFL on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Well, the Cleveland Browns and head coach Mike Pettine have reportedly had discussions about bringing in free agent running back Ray Rice. Pettine coached Rice during his rookie year in Baltimore, but did say that the discussions about bringing him in aren't close to any kind of reality yet. Aaron Rodgers said yesterday he doesn't like the new point-after-touchdown rule, pointing out the player safety aspect and the poor weather that the Packers play in the later part of the season up in Green Bay.
Don't their opponents play in that weather when
they
play them?
He also pointed out that the play isn't dead anymore, which it isn't, and that's the reason the league changed the rule in the first place. They were tired of having a dead play in the middle of all their games. Lance Briggs, a longtime linebacker with the Chicago Bears, was on NFL Network yesterday, was asked if he ever wanted to punch Jay Cutler. He said yes. Andrew Siciliano, who was interviewing Briggs for the network, then went down a list of quarterbacks that Briggs had played with in Chicago. Briggs said that he had wanted to punch them all, with a couple of notable exceptions. Brian Greasy and Kyle Orton did not get Briggs' wrath. He also added, when asked about Jonathan Quinn, that yes, he wanted to punch Quinn because the defense was on the field for 90 plays a game that season. Of course, Briggs also obviously never punched any of his quarterbacks, as he put it, out of respect.
Brian Greasy was too busy punching himself in the face. Didn't he get drunk and trip over his dog at a Christmas party and fall in his driveway?
Yeah.
Wasn't that the story with Brian Greasy?
Yeah.
He didn't need anybody sucker punching him. Brian Greasy.
But Briggs didn't want to get
out. He was taking himself out. Well, look what the cat
ding him in
has dragged in. There he is, ladies and gentlemen. Jaguar superfan Terrence is here with us. You're live at the table, not on the phone. Headset on, do you feel like you're now officially a part of the Jaguars Today broadcast crew?
I can't believe it.
Dream come true? Neither can anyone else. They're like, why did they pick this guy with the 3-foot-tall sombrero to come over there? What's with the hat, my man?
Oh, man, they were having this event at the Landing, and I saw people walking out of the Landing, so I always wanted one for some reason, so I just went and somebody sold it to him off their head. So $20 and...
They sold it to you right off their head?
Yes.
Wow. But now that you've worn it, are you getting offers here from the Jaguar fans that realize, if they realize this is the Terrence who's wearing this hat, well, can you maybe double your money on this? What do you think?
I think I can. I think I had a suitor over here next to us. But
we'll talk later.
Yeah, we'll talk later. Right.
I get my 3%, but I want to negotiate for you. Terrence, you had a wonderful period where you became an optimist this summer. I don't know what got into you.
Right.
And then you kind of went back the other direction. And then, Tony, remember this call? Mike, have you seen the schedule? Mike?
Right.
How are you feeling after coming out to many of these training camp practices?
I don't know, Mike. I can't really describe it. I'm ready to see what happens on Friday and, see what Blake does. So I'm ready to see real live action then. I can go from there, but.
A little apprehensive, maybe. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
Hopeful, but not sure.
Right. I'm hoping seven wins, and we can keep everything like it is out here. This is great. I'm hoping, if things have to change, we might not be able to come out here and do this anymore. So I want us to get at least seven, eight wins.
All right. You'd be a fan of them practicing on this near field more often, at least on the days you're here. Perhaps we could coordinate that with your schedule, because you didn't come out yesterday.
They've only done it once in a week.
Right. They did full pads right in front of us yesterday, and you didn't make it out here. You were at Fred Taylor's football camp, right?
Yeah, I was out there yesterday and got a chance to – I met him before, and then I actually got a chance to talk to him yesterday.
Fred's an awesome dude.
Yeah, he is. And, man, he was out there playing with the kids, and, like, he can still do it, man. I mean, he was putting moves on the kids. I know they're just kids.
Right.
But he was making moves, and I was like, man, they ought to put a uniform on that guy, man. So it was great being out there with him, and he did a great job and talking about his career yesterday. So a lot of kids enjoyed that.
What are you hoping to see on Friday night out of this Jaguar football team?
I think I'm going to pay a lot more. I'm going to pay attention to Luke Jokel. Luke Jokel, that left side, and how many plays they, if they're running plays to that side, or I'm going to look to see if they go away from that side, and then that'll let me know, they're not really sure about that side over there. But overall, I think we have good depth overall of the offensive line. If, when I was looking at scrimmage, the other day, we had everybody I could that was on our second line on that second team was I knew the name, so I think we have overall depth. So yeah,
the quality of depth is better.
And I'm not surprised that the Jags fans that have been suffering through this whole thing, not surprised at all that Luke Jokel would be the first out of the crosshairs mouth for the fan base. Yeah. Right, it's like, what are you watching for on Friday night, Jokel?
Yes,
is he any good at all? I think. Is the question fans are asking right now, Terrence.
Yeah, they are. And really, I think Jokel just need to get mean. Just get mean, slap somebody, might get a penalty and get fined.
Maybe somebody needs to slap him. I don't know what, because he is such a laid-back guy. He really is like a low-key guy.
Right.
And we just had Tony Viselli on. He was just talking about he thinks, among other things, Parnell and Linder will help give some nastiness to this offensive line. They need some nastiness.
Right, and I totally agree. And if I could ever get close to him, I'm going to tell him that, too. And you might, like, that guy don't
you
know
might sucker punch
yeah,
you.
Yeah, he might sucker punch
around. Terrence, we're asking listeners today, anyone in the NFL, past or present, player, coach, owner, you name it, if you could sucker punch anyone, or if you didn't want to do it, who would you most like to see on the receiving end of a sucker punch? Who would that be for you?
Man, I don't want to hit nobody. I'm not that kind of guy. If I did,
me?
Blaine Gabbert might. Not too much. You all
know that. Some days.
Yeah,
Be honest, Harris. It's all right.
Yeah, so me and Mike still friends. Can we believe we're sitting across from one another? So it's not going to stop. Y'all hear us keep talking all the time to one another. We're going to get on each other.
I don't have that money I owe you either. I'm not going to pay you today.
I know, right?
What you going to do about it, Terrence?
But I believe a couple of years ago, everybody probably wanted to sucker punch Blaine Gabbert. But, I hate to do you like that, Blaine. But, it's
true.
No,
you don't.
Yeah, I know.
Not if it's true, Terrence.
Yeah, so.
Not if it's true. You need to get that. I like the sombrero. You need to get one in teal. Can we find someone to find a teal sombrero?
You think this might be a good idea? We might could make some.
You could market that, Terrence.
Yeah. And then, me and you could do it together.
Sure. Absolutely. We'll advertise it up here. We'll get some teal. I don't know, where we'll get these, but I'm sure we'll find a great supplier of teal sombreros somewhere in the near future. And by this time next year, we'll have retired on our riches.
That'll work.
There
that'll
you go.
Work.
And we'll get a suite, and we'll come to every Jags game, and we'll sit up in the suite together.
And tell them to join us.
And we'll sucker punch everyone who walks through the door.
Let's have a ball. Let's do it.
All right, Terrence. Okay. Hey, it's always good to see you, man. I just want to dispel that notion that we are mortal enemies. I do. You're one of my favorite guys who calls up. You're a nut job half the time. But that's still true. But I'm glad you haven't sucker punched me as of yet.
No, man. It's my love for the team, and I think talking to you today and facts on is because of my love for the team and the city. So if that was got me here in front of you, that's what it is.
You're the
so
man.
I appreciate it, Mike.
We love you, brother.
All right, love
you. Ding him out, Tyler, if you would. There he goes, the legend, Terrence, stopping by. Look for him with a teal sombrero coming soon to a stadium near you. All right, we're going to come back. Amanda Borges going to join us on the other side, Jaguar embedded reporter for 1010XL. So stick around for that. We'll still hear from Gus Bradley, a little bit from Dan Scuda, Aurelius Ben after practice yesterday, all that and more to come on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. And I've been mentioning Metro Rooter with what's going on with those guys. They are so successful. They've been in business for so long, and they're so successful at what they do that their business is just booming right now, absolutely booming. Unfortunately, I contributed to that. I had them out at my house. Had some plumbing issues a couple weeks ago. They got down there. They took great care of me immediately. So that service area extends far beyond just the Jacksonville metro area. But Metro Rooter's in the market for a couple of service plumbers to go out on the road. Okay, they're offering top competitive pay, paid vacation, holiday pay, medical, dental, vision, life insurance. Great company to work for. Great people. They know their job. They do it well. That's why they've been in business for so long. Give those guys a call if you want to. You can send your resume to Donna@MetroRooter.com or even apply in person at 8892 Normandy Boulevard right here in Jacksonville, our good friends at Metro Rooter. So, hey, maybe the employment opportunity you've been looking for, if you're a qualified service plumber, Metro Rooter may be the stop you need to make. Our Wednesday sponsor, glad to have them on board. Amanda Borges joins us straight ahead on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Welcome our next guest to the Metro Diner Chat Counter.
These are delicious.
On 1010XL, Metro Diner, where the locals eat.
So
oh, it's sad, Tony. Seconds ticking away.
I know. We only got a few more minutes out here.
Lock us
really
back inside tomorrow on. Can't believe it.
Then we're just at the stadium every day.
You can't just have Terrence stroll up to you when you're inside the stadium. Right? I mean, come on. Sombrero at the ready. We're going to miss it. Jags training camp. Not the most intense practice, let's just say, going on today. No pads on today. Amanda Borges. At Amanda, 1010XL.
Hey, look at that.
How about that? I'm a big Twitter aficionado.
So either I should be flattered that you remembered or a little creeped out because you've just kept your eye on my Twitter feed.
Stalker. Stalker. No, because you have that that whole thing where you put you above the station and list yourself first. I thought that stood
that's
out to
what
me.
That is.
That stood out to me, says MB
okay.
underscore 1010XL.
Uh-huh.
We're in the same boat on that one. How you doing? How's everything?
Great. Living the life.
Are you sad like we are that training camp, or you've had enough of what's
no? I've definitely not had enough. You can never get enough of this.
It's honestly, I mean, there are a lot of people that complain, believe it or not, that it's so long or it's so boring. So, come on, do you really want to have a real job, or do you
want
to do this?
Exactly. I say all the time that my job is not a real job. You know, like I come out here and watch football. I watch them practice. Do I sweat? Yes. Is it hot? Yes. But there's no reason to complain when you're out here, unless you're hot and you don't like the heat.
Right. Unless you're hot and sweaty and miserable.
Right.
But,
but there's
it's been
just
great.
No need
I mean,
for that.
Just enough breeze. Oh, look, it's hot, but
so you're covering an NFL.
Exactly.
We're not getting a lightning storm dropped on our head or anything
there's
like that.
There's 32 of them on the planet, and we're out here at one of their practices.
Right.
I mean, that's so
cool. You could
cool.
be watching baseball. You know that would.
Oh, Tony. That's
Amanda.
A major shot
trying to go at the
your
heart
bow right there.
Well, she's probably still upset with me. They've the last couple weeks. on Helmets and Heels. They've done, last week they did How to Improve Baseball, and this week they did How to Improve Football, and they were all like struggling to come up with ideas for how to improve football. I had a laundry list. Like when I walked in the room, I got 10 things.
Tony storms in, he's listing thing after thing after thing. We're like, all right, you can just start your show now.
That's right. The 2-minute warning is stupid. First down on 3rd and 25 for defensive holding is beyond dumb. Like I had all kinds of things that I think.
What's your problem with the 2-minute warning?
Are
you
going to
lead with the 2-minute warning?
I'm not leading with the 2-minute warning. I just think it's stupid.
The first thing he mentioned was the 2-minute warning.
Why did it ever exist? Right? And why does it still exist except that they want to sell 3 more minutes of commercials?
2 minutes left, and there's commercial break.
Commercial break.
Yes, go to the fridge.
Commercial break.
Get yourself something, and now
you know.
Don't
tell me they need that money. Premier League makes plenty of money. They don't have ads in the middle of their game.
Who needs? They have ads all over their jerseys.
Right. Then put them on the jersey so I don't have to watch commercials.
We have ads, too.
We do.
You gotta, you know.
I love our advertisers.
Right.
Right. What's wrong with advertisers?
This isn't a football game. This is a radio show.
All right. After the break, we'll come back and we'll give you the fan feedback spotlight. See how that works?
See?
Yeah. I like that. All right, Amanda. obviously, they had a series of full contact, full pad practices culminating with yesterday's. Today, obviously, no pads, no shells, no shoulder pads, nothing less intense. What are we missing from this vantage point? What's going on out there?
Well, I have to admit, you guys caught me at a bad time.
Uh-oh.
Because I'm missing all the action. No. Well, I was. JP and I were chatting about professional things. No, we were actually...
that you wouldn't understand.
No, we were chatting about, you know, who do you think this, what's going to happen this season. The action starts around 11, I'd say. Even when they don't have pads, that's when they start 11 on 11.
Right.
So, I did see a great catch by Alan Hearns. I will say that yesterday wasn't the best day for Blake Bortles. There were lots of incomplete passes. But the receivers, to me, that have really stood out, Aurelius Ben, I've mentioned him a bunch of times. I mentioned him in my blog yesterday. Tony Washington has had really great practices. Gus has said before that they could keep 6 receivers. And with Mark Heasley out right now, you know, there are just question marks as to will they keep 6? Which 6 will they keep? Marquise will most likely not play this Friday during the preseason game. He's week to week with his hamstring, so you know they don't want to risk
it. He's not playing. There's no way.
No. He's not going to play. In fact, he might not even play until a regular season, which is okay because it will give some other guys a chance to step up and play in a real game, quote unquote.
Well, look, there's plenty of chances for that because even if he were fully healthy and playing, they have 3 quarters to do that.
Right.
You know, I mean, he's not. He needs to be on the field, I think, before the regular season starts. This guy's
it's a new offense.
Yes.
Yeah, I know.
It's a new offense. They all need to be out there as much as they can be together in practice and through the preseason without putting them at too much risk.
That's the thing. You don't want to rush a hammy.
Yeah.
You don't want
to. Take it easy with the guy, but it's still he needs to be out there at some point. And I think the Tony Washington thing is easy because that's a guy, you know, I can remember before camp got started, the boys primetime, I think it was Hacker asking, you know, who do you think is a surprise guy that can make this roster? And Washington was one of the guys I mentioned because every time I saw him practice in the offseason, he flashed. And you go into camp and then you hear those comments from Gus Bradley saying, well, we could keep 6 wide receivers. And I think the conversation about keeping 6 wide receivers is about how good Tony Washington has been in camp to this point and how difficult he's making that decision for this team.
And also what he can do on special teams.
Right.
Because Gus talked about that after practice yesterday. He said, we're going to have to see it, and he's going to get his opportunities on special teams over these next 4 weeks, so that will be important to him. He thinks he can contribute, whether he can be a core 4 guy. He's not sure about that, but I think that may be what it takes if he can show him he can contribute across an array of special
teams.
Sure,
and it's all that. It's the roster flexibility of not having a fullback. Well, where does that position go now? Do they want to use it at wide receiver? Is it going to be a tight end? Is it going to be a running back? They got a lot of options for where they can use that extra roster spot, and I think some guys that are excelling in camp are making that decision even more difficult. I don't know how hard it's been the last couple of years in Jacksonville, right, to decide who's going to be on the bottom end of any of the depth chart pretty much anywhere except maybe defensive line last year, but it feels like this year it's a lot more difficult for this team to make the decisions they're going to have to make about the bottom end of their roster.
Well, especially with the tight ends, too, because they have lots of options. They have Mercedes, Julius Thomas, then they drafted Ben Koyak. They have Connor Hamlet. Clay Harbor has had a great camp, too. Am I forgetting someone?
Nick Jacobs.
Yeah.
More a blocking guy, but
right.
But I mean, I think a lot of people feel right now. Let's say, obviously, Julius Thomas, Mercedes. I think Clay Harbor as your second kind of move tight end guy in there. And then, you know, Jacobs has the size, the physical aspect to his game. You did draft Koyak. We mentioned earlier he's working on developing his long snapping skills yesterday, trying to make himself more versatile. And, you know, look, it was a work in progress, but, you know, ultimately that may be his ticket to sticking around on an NFL roster, you know. So it's what it comes down to, a numbers game. And, you know, who knows, by this time, on Monday, when we're back here after the first game, we may be talking about three or four guys who we really haven't even brought up, saying, wow, where did they come from? They've kind of flashed, because it's tough to, you know, unless you're a skill guy or a cornerback covering one of those guys, I still think, even in full contact practices, it's tough to get a complete gauge on who's performing well. Because oftentimes I think this guy had a good practice or a bad practice, and you hear Gus talk about him in the opposite terms afterwards. So maybe I'm just a bad evaluator. I don't know. How long do you expect or want to see the starters play on this game on Friday night?
I'd say a couple quarters. Maybe just kind of get their feet wet. I don't expect very long. Definitely by the time the second half rolls around, there won't be any starters on the field.
Right, I would expect to. I'd be surprised if, unless the offense really is going three and out.
I think there's some starters that you may see play late into the first half just because of some of the position battles they have, guys who may eventually start for this team being put in those positions, maybe on the offensive line.
Don't expect Blake to be one of those
guys. No, Blake's going to probably get a couple series and be done, and it probably should be that way. You don't want to risk him. And I want to ask you, too, Amanda, since you weren't out here last year,
right. You've
been out here, obviously, throughout the offseason, throughout minicamp with this team. What is your impression of Blake Bortles as a quarterback?
So from what I've heard, he's a lot more comfortable this year than he was last year. So even though I wasn't here last year, it's common sense that a rookie just needs to take some time to get used to things and get comfortable being a leader. But you can see it out here now. I mean, we talked about that from the very beginning of camp. He's more comfortable. He's taking ownership of the offense. He is the leader on the field. Other players notice it. They talk about it. And he brings that up as well. Is he perfect? No. Does he have the best practices every day? No. But from what I hear, he's a game-time performer, and that's what you need from your quarterback.
Well, that's what, you know, that's the book on him, right, Tony? But ultimately, the bottom line is the games produced 11 touchdowns, 17 interceptions last year. So, you know, he's going to have to take a major step forward. And again, you understand why, for a number of reasons, lack of support, offensive line-wise, skill position inexperience, being a rookie, all these different factors play into it. But in the end, it's the NFL. There's 32 teams. Nobody's going to feel sorry for you. You run out your guys, we're going to run out our guys. We're going to try to smash you in the head. Speaking of which, we'll wrap up with this, Amanda.
Oh, no.
Our question today for our listeners today. Which player, coach, anyone connected to the NFL, past or present, in your eyes, is most deserving of a good old-fashioned sucker punch?
Well, if it's not coming from me, because I'm not a very violent person.
You don't want to bruise those knuckles.
I don't think I've punched anything or anyone in my life.
Really?
Yeah.
Ever?
No.
Anything? You've never punched anything?
Okay, maybe my pillow, like in third grade when you get mad at your mom or something. That's bad. I should, like, go to kickboxing class. I need to get some stress.
Oh, I thought for a second she's like, oh, that's bad. I punched a pillow.
Right. No!
Of course, shame. How did I do that? All right, so you're not the puncher.
No, I'm not the puncher.
But if someone is doing it on your behalf, who gets it?
I feel like lots of Jags fans would agree that maybe Blaine Gabbert deserves.
Oh, Terrence would agree with you.
Yeah?
Yes.
Was that his choice,
Terrence,
too?
Terrence felt the same way. He said not only he, but probably a lot of Jag fans.
They're all kind of soft peddling on it. Like, Terrence is like, look, I don't want to say anything bad about a guy, but
but if someone could punch Blaine in the face,
but
right
now.
Blaine Gabbert, no, we all know, Jags Nation, you want to punch Blaine Gabbert in the face.
And Hugh Douglas.
Yeah. And you should. It's okay if you want to punch those guys in the face. They deserve it for what they did to your franchise.
Perhaps they could punch each other in the face repeatedly.
Yeah.
It'd be like the end of Rocky III.
That would satisfy.
Sometimes that's all you need to, like, snap out of it, you know?
Is that all you need? Sometimes
a
good punch to the jaw?
Yeah.
You found that in your experience? Sometimes that's what it takes? Snap right out of it. See? Hey, you'll be
get
on the sideline.
Together.
You'll be out for 10 weeks. But after that, snap out of it, will you? All right, enough of your finger wagging in my face. All right, Amanda Borges, we will listen for you, of course, today. We'll listen for you on the pregame show.
I
look forward to talking with
pre-game
you on the
pregame show. On Friday during the preseason game, I will be out kind of tailgating, but kind of working. I'll be looking for really awesome tailgaters that want to get on the radio, so look for me.
Be on the lookout for Amanda Borges at Amanda1010XL. Tweet her and tell her where you'll be.
Yeah, let
Maybe
me know.
Maybe she'll stop by your tailgate. How about that? Amanda, good to see you. We'll listen for you this afternoon. Of course, we encourage folks to check out your daily Jaguar blog at 1010XL.com.
Thanks, guys.
You got it. There she goes, Amanda Borges here with us. I got this text in from Tom McManus when we were talking with Terrence a moment ago. Tom says in inimitable McManus fashion,
sure,
just no more Jokel is still learning crap. He's either got it by now or he don't. Tommy Mack.
No doubt.
That is a Tom Mack sentence right there.
What's up, Tommy?
He is a pointed man, and I love it, man. Tom's like, don't give me this, we're learning crap, let's win some games, and I think he expresses the sentiment of a lot of Jaguar fandom out there. What is up, Tommy Mack? Good to have you checking in with us here on Jaguars today. All right, it is a Metro Rooter Wednesday. When we return, we'll hear a little bit from Gus, hear a little bit from Dan Scuda, hear a little bit from Aurelius Ben, and find out who you want to suck a punch from the National Football League. I think I'm going with Romanowski.
Oh, yeah.
That's McManus' buddy, by the way. McManus is probably shaking his head at me right now. But, yes, I've never been a fan of Romo, and when I think of thuggish athletes, he is the top of my list. And so I think, yes, deserving of a little return thuggery is where I would I would send that closed fist. All right, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you at the Florida Blue practice fields, wrapping things up for our training camp coverage. But, of course, we'll be here with you daily for 2 hours, getting you ready for the season from 10 to noon every single day right here on 1010XL 92.5 FM. All right, field site here at the Florida Blue practice fields with Fat Tony. Mike Dempsey here with you. Jaguars today coming to a close on the final open training camp practice of 2015. There goes the longtime voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton, ladies and gentlemen, walking by. I love calling everybody out as they walk by, although the fans all know who Brian is as they come by here. And good to see a better turnout today than yesterday, I think, probably just to take advantage of final day, plus Jaguars Kids Club out here today, which was awesome.
It was cool, yeah.
Seeing the little tiny tykes carrying out the helmets for the guys, that was really cool. Seeing those little kids out there. Tony, let's, before we go to the fan feedback spotlight asking about who's most deserving of an NFL sucker punch, let's go back to the audio archive from yesterday and hear a few thoughts of Gus Bradley, Dan Scuda, and Aurelius Ben. Starting with Bradley, his initial thoughts after practice.
Went full pads today. Again, another good, challenging practice for us. Cut down a little bit on the plays compared to yesterday, but still the intensity was there. You saw we introduced a little bit of Pittsburgh. Again, this is going to be a lot of rules ball game for us where we just follow our rules and go out there. We're looking for a lot of energy and guys playing hard and fast. So, but we did want to take a look at some things they do just so you know our guys have some semblance of what they're about. But most of the time we're going to spend going good versus good with us, which we did in 7-on-7 and some teamwork.
Yeah, good ones versus ones he's talking about. But I talked to Bob Babbage briefly after practice yesterday. I just said, how's it going out there? He's like, it was a rough one yesterday. The heat, you know, everything, they're a little worn down. But he said overall very pleased with his side of the football.
Yeah, and we'll see what it looks like on Friday night taking on the Steelers. We'll see how long those skill guys for the Steelers, some of the best in the league, are out there on the field here in Jacksonville. Gus Bradley, after practice yesterday, also asked about Pittsburgh, that 3-4 defense they run. It's a different look and how that's going to be a good test for the centers on this football team.
That's why a little bit we haven't seen much of that on the defensive side of the ball. And so that's why today we introduced it, just so our guys would be accustomed to it. Now, they've been, you know, working on it all during OTAs and mini camp and training camp with just the garbage cans, the different looks that we talked about. But to line up and go against it, that's why this week will be really good for us.
Gus also asked about one of the guys who, again, it's easy for the pass catchers to catch your eye because you see the ball in motion. You're not always watching the trenches, but Aurelius Ben has stood out, and he's a bigger guy. Well, you know, physical stature is different than most of the receivers they have, and Gus was asked about that and whether that or not that brings a different element to the wide receiver group.
Just his size and his strength, you know, some of the things that we ask. With our offense, we'll probably see a lot of 8-man fronts. which means there's going to be a down safety, which means that the receivers are going to have to be heavily involved in blocking, you know, for the run cracking and things like that. So to have that body type would be advantageous for us if it should work out.
Yeah, you mentioned that earlier, Mike, and Aurelius Ben, a big body guy, just hasn't been able to stay healthy to this point in his career. Ben, talking after practice yesterday, was asked if he sees this offense coming together.
Yeah, definitely. It's come to everybody meshing together. You know, that's all it comes from. And, you know, you add new guys and new offense. Guys still picking up the offense. But when it starts to get the clicking and stuff, it's going to be great for us and for us to keep maintaining. It's all about maintaining because you never got it. You know what I mean? You never got it. And you just got to keep finding different ways of how to learn the offense and things of the nature of execution. You know what I mean? Because I've been knowing this offense for 3 years, and there's certain things that I'm still grasping. So, you know, it's all about being a professional and having that professional approach.
How quickly they become Gus Bradley disciples, right? What is Gus's most three dangerous words? I got this.
I got this,
right?
Yeah.
You cannot say I got this. So there you go, Aurelius Ben. And Dan Scuda as well yesterday. He is a guy that is being asked to do some different things, given some multiple looks on the defensive side of the football, and was asked about that, the different roles he's been learning.
There's been a lot of learning and, you know, trying to run in between coaches and get little coaching points and stuff like that, but I asked for it, so I want that. I want to be involved in every part of the game. I don't want to be just a first and second down guy. I want to be able to rush. I want to be able to, you know, help the team as much as I possibly can.
Yes, Scuda today apparently working a little bit on the defensive line as well, and not just that auto position. So some flexibility for Scuda inside this defense. He was also asked yesterday about watching the other pieces around him come together, and he says it's still a learning process. Like Aurelius Ben said, you never really have it.
You know, it's kind of in steps. First, you want to learn the philosophies, you know, the three deep and how everything works, and then you start to learn, like, the little nuances within the scheme that, you know, and you got to know as a guy that's going to be out there a lot and executing. So I think I'm starting to get onto that right now, and it's been going well.
Appreciate our friends at Jaguars.com providing some of that audio for us today. As let's move ahead now to the fan feedback spotlight, Tony, brought to you by the Tom Bush family of automobile dealerships, asking Jaguar fans, what drives you today? What would drive you to want to see somebody sucker punched? Who in the NFL, past or present, player, coach, you name it, is most deserving of that metaphorical sucker punch? Tony, what did we get?
Here's what we got from Colby. Cortland Finnegan, especially when he was with the Titans, from Jimbo, J.J. Watt, Peyton. J.J. Watt, Peyton. J.J. Watt, Peyton. I think you get the idea there. From Threat Supply, Jeff Fisher, writing that stupid mustache. Hashtag never forget 1999. From Cristiano, I'm against violence, whispers Gower. From Joe, after Hard Knocks.
Bill Gower, yes.
That's right. After Hard Knocks last night, Bill O'Brien, and it's not even close, from Mike. Blaine Gabbert. From Al, my eye, easy. Buddy Ryan. From Daniel, great question. I would say Warren Sapp for being a donkey. From Alex, Terrell Owens. From Dino, Hines Ward, the dirtiest player in the NFL for many years. That guy deserves a good punch in the mouth. From Cam, Chad Ochocinco. From Marquise Thin Camp, I would pop Hugh Douglas. From Philip, lifelong Cowboys fan, Jerry Jones all day long. From Spaz, Greg Hardy, by far, he hits women, so let's see him get hit. From Brian, J.J. Watt, can't stand that smug-faced reject, and I couldn't take him in a fair fight. From Demetrius, Bobby Petrino, karma eventually caught up with him after the Arkansas scandal, but the way he left Atlanta was just crazy. From Bobby, Peyton Manning and Tim Tebow, hashtag go dogs, I wonder where his hate comes from. From Eric, a few, Goodell, Brady, Irsay, Andre Rison, and for some reason, I just want to punch Blaine Gabbert. From Black Dog Express, Hugh freaking Douglas. Bob Irsay, the guy who designed our new helmets. From Isaiah, Blaine Gabbert. From Chris, give me a second to stop laughing. Quality question today. Answer, Ray Rice. From Area Man, myself for actually thinking we could win 6 to 8 games last season. From Jags Movie Guy, Hines Ward. Twice. From Mikey, punch you, Douglas. Also, man slap Big John Henderson. Great stuff today, guys.
But he liked that, so that's yeah. Okay. And I would suggest you don't sucker punch anyone, but particularly if you're going to do it to an NFL player, you better bring the goods, okay?
Oh, yeah.
You're going to get one shot, and then you're going to be in a world of hurt. Here on Facebook, Tony, Michael went with a long list of NFL players, current and past, but one former NFL player he'd love to see get decked the most is Shannon Sharp for the way he acted in April when the Jaguars signed Julius Thomas. Doug Allen went with Gene Smith. Damon said Hugh Douglas, Derek Harvey, Aaron Ross, Shannon Sharpe, Andre Rison, Gene Smith. On and on it goes. Joshua Lee Wright, most deserving of Sucker Punch. Going to go with Jeff Fisher, pal, right in the kisser. David Howe said, still Jack Del Rio over David Garrard. Okay, moving along.
Cutting him, I guess?
Maybe. Punching him over the David Garrard situation.
Yeah.
I thought he was saying Dave was a close second, but I'll go with Del Rio over David Garrard.
I hope that's what he's saying. David's a nice guy. I don't know who he could have offended that way.
Seth Line Gang went with J.J. Watt, Andrew Luck, and Ken Wisenhunt. Hashtag serial punches. Hashtag strategic advantage. Nice. Alejandro said Bill Belichick or Warren Sapp or Darren Sharper. Now, that's a good one.
Yeah, Sharper.
As well. Kevin Tappy, I'd love to see T.O. get decked. Bill Romanowski or Dez Bryant would be nice.
Man, did I hate
as well.
T.O. for years.
Ronnie went with Buddy Ryan contest over. No, it's not. We'll tell you when it's over. Louis Osorio, to me, oh, this one's a stunner. Mr. Wayne Weaver.
What?
For hiring Gene Smith. He redeemed himself by selling to Mr. Khan, but regressed by giving Gene an extension. Love you, Mr. Weaver, but you gotta get it. Hashtag Jaguars today. Kenneth Lane said, all current, former, and future Steelers at any level, owner down to the fans. Hashtag hate mail. Hashtag Jaguars today. And finally, Adrian Jackson said, surely any answer other than Ray Rice in a lift by a girl is the wrong one.
I think Ray Rice is should be the dominant answer right now in the NFL, right? If you were interviewing the entire landscape of NFL fandom. I know for me, I had to think about this, but the only player that I've ever laughed at him getting hurt when he got hurt is Donovan McNabb. And I did. When he was out for 6 weeks or whatever it was, I was laughing in a bar when I saw him go down. I was so happy to see Donovan McNabb get hurt. So he'd probably be towards the top of that list. At the top for me, though, as a Giants fan growing up, is Trey Junkin. And honestly, it's not even close. That SOB snapping that ball that way. Still just ticks me off.
Sucker punch his own guy.
But
right
the other
there.
Guys make a lot more sense. I mean, Darren Sharper and Ray Rice, I think we'd all pay to
right.
see those guys get
much
punched.
Worse than a sucker punch, by the way. By the way, Kyle Brady, longtime Jaguar tight end, does signing some autographs for fans out here right now. It's fun to see the alumni crowd out there. If you missed it earlier, Double D, happy 40th. I know he's locked into Jaguars today.
What up, Donovan?
On his 40th birthday.
That was fun today, guys. I enjoyed all those answers. That was a good time.
That was. All right. You love it when people get into it and take it in the spirit in which it's intended. So we got a lot of great feedback on that today. Brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships. Wrapping things up on a Metro Rooter Wednesday.